Holy Spirit has popped in a paragraph for Brittany and Dawn. Welcome, everybody.
Ooh,
Brittany and Dawn.
You got the name. Welcome. Thank you.
Brittany and Dawn, this is everybody. They all have different names and different lives.
We try to make us all the same, but...
Yeah, we're trying to make everybody the same. I don't know how we're going to rock this one. It's an amazing paragraph dropped in this message in this section we're studying. Just it's a deep, you know, the last couple of weeks have been pretty rocking. Deep messages. And here comes some more. I don't know, I can swear this paragraph is not in there last week. Welcome to A Course in Miracles. All right, so in any awakening progress, there is a self-discovery always that goes on. You know, whenever you do any kind of, deep thinking, usually, you know, you've had a tragedy in your life, you usually discover something about yourself. When you have a happy event occur in your life, an accomplishment, you learn something about yourself, perhaps that you'd like to keep or proud of. And here we are on a spiritual journey, on a Course in Miracles. My favorite description of it now is that it's a psychological journey to a spiritual awakening. The spiritual awakening is a identity awakening. Because the material fixation has been what you think you are. And what we're doing with A Course in Miracles is we are awakening from a false idea of what you are, a very limited little self stuck in a body. And if you don't feed it and water it, it will die and go away, and so will you. So says the ego. But if you've ever ventured on a spiritual path or doing a good meditation, you might have discovered something inside you that goes beyond the material. So a spiritual awakening is an identity awakening. Awakening from what? You would fairly ask.
The dream.
Perception.
Right? Yeah. 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 You see, a lot of the spiritual material will give you a picture of what to follow, where to go. But a lot of us will take our ego with us. And you'll get what we might call a spiritual ego. Trying to heal and enlighten your separated self, your ego. It's very natural that you should do this. Because you've spent your whole life taking care of your separated self. And you're very good at it. And you've done some very good things with it. But slippery slope now. The separated self denies the essential truth of your nature. Oneness, love, direct sharing, all of which is impossible here in separated bodies. Because a body's designed to keep you separate, see, from that post. You can touch it, but you can't actually do anything more than that. So, awaken from what? I really appreciate A Course in Miracles because it doesn't gloss over your addiction. It doesn't gloss over what you deeply, deeply believe. It doesn't gloss over what you defend and protect. So personally, it's you and your world. Before we jump in, one more idea I want to drop on you. If the truth is true, if it really is a truth, let's say, if it's true, You don't have to look for it. If the truth is true, it's waiting for you to stop looking elsewhere. You can't hide the truth. It would no longer be true if it could be hidden. You can deny the truth. And we learn more about that as we study this material. But if the truth is true, it's here and now. You must stop looking at other than the truth. Think about what truth really means. We're just going to go with a very simple concept. And it is belief. I want you to take a look at this word, at the power of this concept. And that is belief. You know, A Course in Miracles is not a hocus pocus thing. There's nothing powerful out there that's going to come change you. And on this discipline of enlightenment, it's you. It's you who would awaken. Nothing would come awaken you. I mean, if the true love was out there and it wanted you to awake, wouldn't you be awake already? What if true love is in you saying, not yet, not yet? What if true love is in you, all of the love there is? In you, saying, not yet, not yet. I'm goofing around with separation a little longer. Okay, we have so much to cover with this crazy paragraph. I can't believe this is here. But let's answer a few of these questions. Let's start with, when do you need a belief? Matt?
Is it to fill in the gaps between what you know?
Yeah. What does a belief, what's it good for? How do you use beliefs?
It's a way to live by.
It's a way to live by. How does that work? What's that? I mean, don't we use beliefs all the time for the things we don't know for sure? Can you get to your car and the car on the road and through the traffic to get to some place by 6 p.m.?
I believe so.
I believe so. It could be.
Unless it's on the moon. Can I just say what came for me? Because I need to get it out before I use it.
Yeah, please.
For me, a belief is what I live by. Mm-hmm. And I've lived long enough now that most of my beliefs I've had to give up. Because they don't work.
Oh, interesting.
Not for forever, they don't work. So the only belief that I have left that I can trust is that what I really want in life is to only love.
Yeah.
And my belief now is that this book is going to get me there.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm living by this book now.
Yeah.
As much as I possibly can. And, you know, my ego gets in the way just like probably everybody else's does. But
yeah.
If I didn't have this book, I don't know what I would do right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I'm nowhere near the end. But
yeah.
I feel like it's the only guide I've got that's working.
Oh, yeah. When you do come to the end of the book,
I'll have to start over.
Yeah. I mean, a couple of us here have been all the way through the book and discovered, wow, did I miss a lot.
That's what I know. I already know that because every time I go back and read something over, I think, oh my God, I didn't get it all the first time.
Yeah. Like, I saw this paragraph we're about to read I've never seen before.
And that's coming from Andrew.
Everything memorized.
Yeah, I know. I've been through this. Yeah. So, I wholeheartedly support your investment in this book.
So, it's really the only belief I have right now.
Yeah, and I've tried to wander away from Course in Miracles, you know, around for 5 or 6, year 5 or 6. I was like, you know, I've done it. I've done it. Next. Textbook. And that's about somewhere around, maybe I met Adya Shanti. Maybe it was around then. And sat with him. Wow, that's interesting, interesting. But every time he'd say something, he'd get a little bit of a truth in the air. And he has a lot of them. I would say, you know, that's lesson 128. And it's, I mean, I start getting hungry to go back and get that lesson 128 awakening that I got. And the audio will say a few things around it and halfway this and that. And again and again with so many, this is so full of the truth.
And the thing that, the time that I went to him that meant the most to me, or that I remember the most, was I was talking directly to him, and I would ask a question, he'd answer it, and then I'd ask a question about the question, and I'd ask another one, and the answer went on for about 6 levels. And finally he said, that's the mystery, and then I thought...
Right. Very zen. Very zen. Oh, that's the mystery.
And then yeah. I said to myself, well, that's not the answer either.
Yeah. You're right. Yeah. And it's very interesting how Course in Miracles is very careful, also in kind of a zen way, not to give you too many harsh conclusions. There are some pretty harsh conclusions in here. There really are. But, you know, that can be a turnoff. You end up throwing the book out the window too many times. But still, it says, but you can know, and here's how.
You said something as you were beginning to talk about what we were going to meditate on that struck me, and that was, that made me feel like there's a hope.
Yes.
And it was that the truth is coming to you, something to like that effect, that the truth wants you, or the truth is there for you, or whatever.
Yes, yes.
And that felt like, okay, no matter what, it's here all the time.
Yes.
It's here all the time. All I have to do is recognize it.
Yes, it is waiting for you. If it's true.
That was what you said.
If the truth is true,
yeah.
It's just waiting there as the truth. It is you who are looking elsewhere constantly, entertaining yourself with something else. Mm-hmm. Some other belief. It's got your attention. And if love is true, you'll be allowed to do this forever. Oh. See, it's the good news and the bad news again, isn't it? The truth is true. Love is out there waiting for you. And if love is real, love is true, you will not be stopped from doing anything you want for as long as you want.
You know what? I couldn't hear you just now.
You can do it for... If love is true,
uh-huh.
You will be allowed to do whatever you want for as long as you want to.
Oh, for God's sake.
Oh, yeah.
I'd rather have no choice.
Oh, yeah. I understand. I hear you.
Every once in a while, I think it's going to be about 4,000 more lives, and I don't think I really want it to be that long.
Course in Miracles defines itself as mind training. And it says you're like a little child. Many times it calls you a little child or an infant, kind of wandering around, bumping against the wall. It also says that you are so loved and you are so cared for that you will not be blocked ever. You are a powerful creator that is given the ability to create. And who knows what you're going to do with it. You will not be blocked ever.
And that's a little scary.
Isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Who here is an artist who has an art form? Excellent. Brittany, what do you do?
So I sketch shoes.
Yes?
Yeah.
Good.
And my dream or my belief is that... I'm meant to be a shoe designer.
Excellent. How does it start? A sketch. Blank page, I suppose. Then what?
The form.
Okay. And so there's nothing there, and then there's something there. Mm-hmm. How does the form start? What happens?
It starts in my... it usually starts in my mind.
In your mind. Wait, there's a blank page. You got a pencil or something, right?
Yeah.
There's no shoe on the page. Something starts in your mind, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then what?
I just start transforming it onto the paper, however it comes out.
However, right?
Sometimes it's different.
Do you start with the toe or the heel or the lace? Where do you start?
I usually start with the toe, like just the jump.
No, no, I'm sorry. You can't start with toes. Never do that again. Right. No way we're going to say that. There's no way we're going to tell her where to start with a shoe.
They better not. She might kill us.
You better not. We would. I mean, the creative. I mean, I'm already imagining. I want to see her draw a shoe right now. So I must imagine the beauty that can happen with drawing a shoe after the passion she has. Shoe designer is in that woman. Who here is going to tell her how to do it? Not me, and not God. God is the desire to do it. That's it. God is the whole thing. No, there are no rules there. So she will be allowed to draw shoes in any freaking way she wants. And you will be allowed to do and seek for love. You will seek for this love, Luann.
I am.
In any way. And it will be yours. And it is yours.
That's my dream.
Now, I have kudos for you because you've reached out. You've frustrated enough years of frustrating. You still want the love, thank goodness. And you said, there must be a better way. And you've come to a guide. This is an excellent guide for love. It's on page one. Excellent guide. Good choice.
It's on every page.
It's on every page.
Was it you, Luann? Did you say the word recognition?
Not today.
Oh, it must have been you then.
Could be. I like that word.
It's a very powerful word for me because we can intellectually, on a very heady level, understand that what we are is love. However, if we don't recognize it, that we are that, then you being love really has, it just sitting there. There's no value. So recognition is the embodiment, is the experience that, oh my God, where you connect with your heart and with your emotions, and that's when it begins to live in you. But unless you get that recognition, like reading a nice novel, once it's done, it was sweet. Okay, next.
What makes the belief that you want to keep?
Well, it's very easy for me now. Anything that does not unite with me and whatever it is, that I do not want. Okay, so my job,
yes,
forever and ever, is to extend and make connection. Now, it doesn't mean that I agree with what they're doing. But I am accepting, because that's what love is. It caresses. It says, hey, whatever you are, or whatever you're doing, it's okay.
Because you recognize a oneness thought. You recognize how it moves you, so you keep it. When she draws a shoe, she starts to recognize what was in her mind. Do you ever make a mistake when you draw the shoe?
Yeah. So, yes, a lot. I often have to look at pictures.
Yeah.
Or sometimes if I need to get a proportion right, I will trace things or, you know, just to get that general.
So you can recognize a correct proportion. You start to recognize or literally rethink until you see that your belief, you know, your drawing is worth keeping.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm very fond of saying in this meeting, I get to say it to these two for the first time. Everybody else has heard it 100 times. But you two, you both know something with your heart and soul. It's not true. That's one of the reasons you would come here and read this book. It calls you out on something you believe with your heart and soul. It's just not true. That's a great relief. It's been in your way. It's been in the way of happiness and joy and true sharing. It's been in the way. This thing you believe wholeheartedly. It's not true.
Yeah, you haven't told that one to us yet.
No, I haven't? Oh.
No,
okay.
It.
Oh, you got it. All right.
I got it.
All right.
It's delivered.
Yeah. All right. Good.
That feels true, doesn't it?
Isn't it?
Isn't it? True.
Nice.
I think that's kind of what blocks.
Huh?
The thing that says, let's do this a little bit longer. Yeah. Whatever that is.
Yeah. You bet. You bet. Yes.
So, for me, and I'm actually like, it's kind of cool because I think I'm right about my 1 year of coming to this group. Whoa. And I was reflecting on that, and the belief thing's been pretty major for me, because when I came in here, I had so much anxiety and upset around my daughter, and these beliefs that she should be a certain way, and that it was a certain way is a good way to be, and she wasn't that good way, and that it was my job somehow to help her get to that good way. And so these were my beliefs, and then I just had a constant barrage of negative thoughts that came out of those beliefs, and then a constant barrage of negative feelings that came out of those thoughts, and then it caused me just to like see all this negative stuff. Mm-hmm. And through this mind training, I have worked really hard to try to change the belief that, you know, I don't know what anything's for. I don't know what's a good way of being. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't really say. Like, I just don't know. And also, it's not my responsibility to guide my daughter on her path. That's like her path. And I don't even, maybe she's on a better path than what I think. And mm-hmm. so, those beliefs, those new beliefs that I've gotten from this book, I love them because they make me feel so much more peaceful. The feelings that come out of those beliefs, the thoughts and the feelings are so much more peaceful. But what I've noticed is after 44 years of thinking the other way, I always try to come back, you know, and I have to really be vigilant because, you know, I've been doing this for 1 year, maybe an hour a day, and I've been doing the other for 44 years, like every waking minute, right? Mm-hmm,
yeah.
And so it's
still 23 hours a day since you started.
Yeah,
this.
Right. It's true. Yeah. So it's not really fair, like comparison. But I've gotten enough of a glimpse from this new belief system. And what came up for me when you said like what is a belief is like we get to choose our beliefs.
Wow.
Right? Like a belief, it's like I can choose to believe this or I can choose to believe this.
Yeah.
What one makes me feel better, you know? And so you know, I love this book, and it's helped me so much, and I just see it as like work now to maintain and ingrain these new beliefs. And I, you know, I'm motivated to do it because every time I let my guard down, I fall back to the other beliefs, and then I start to feel bad again, and then I'm like, wow, oh yeah, I should go back to these new beliefs.
There it is. Beautiful. So well said. Thank you. That's going to speed us up right there. We just covered a whole bunch. Thank you very much. Because how you feel is the gauge you have is how you feel. This is your guide. Are you going the right direction with your thoughts and with your beliefs, with what you're committing to? Holy Spirit listens through how you feel. This is the only thing, you know, this is your test. But you are still capable of knowing how you feel. Knowing how you feel. Nobody else can know this for you. And thank God when you feel like crap and something's going wrong, you've got some place to go, something to do. The lesson for the day, just grab and read a random... How many people have just read a random page trying to get out of the mud? It's so amazing how that works.
I don't have to read a random page as I'm reading. That's what the thing I'm on is where it always is.
It's right there. Yeah.
Andrew, can I say something very quickly?
Yes, please.
When you asked the question, how do you use your belief?
Yes.
And my immediate response was, no, my belief uses me.
Mm-hmm.
So there's two things I want to say about that. One, an unexamined belief is going to get you in a lot of, lot of trouble.
Yeah, nice.
And so you want to begin to take your beliefs apart, especially when they're painful or
nice.
Uncomfortable or it doesn't make you feel alive and part of life. Choice, like you said, choice is another critical thing that human beings have. I don't think other creatures living on the planet has that. And it really is a gift, you know, to be used towards supporting one another, to uplift our own self, to accept ourselves, and then to extend that, right? This is
beautiful.
This is
yeah.
like the foundation of this book. It's like, how do we uplift each other? It's like Helen and
Bill.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were like the whole catalyst for this book.
Mm-hmm.
How do we get along with one another? Everything else is just kind of on its path, but the goal is,
yeah.
it's about loving, being kind to each other, being supportive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, because we all have to get to that door
yeah.
before it's open.
Yeah.
It's together. That's so clear in that book. We can't
yeah.
do it alone or just,
yes.
you know, but the five of us.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Beautiful.
So
I think
yeah.
the hard thing of what you're saying, Melissa, is be kind to each other. And the reason I think that's hard is because we can be doing something that makes us think we're being kind, and it isn't what the other person is going to think is kind. And we can also feel bad about doing something that we think is kind, and then we know whether we believe it's kind or not, it's not the right thing. So being kind, I think, is where looking at ourselves, each thing that triggers us and each thing we interaction we have, I think that's a really hard one.
It's certainly a hard one because when we try to be kind in the world, we try to be kind to the world. And we get, the spiritual ego is getting invited in to try to fix the world by being kind to somebody in some way that they will like. That is not A Course in Miracles. A lot of self-help books, a lot of social books, a lot of things you can do to try to do nice things for other people. That's working backwards. A Course in Miracles works inwards with you so that you disarm the unkind thoughts on the inside.
Let it begin with me.
Amen. And then naturally, well, that's true. When you actually shift with me, when I change on the inside, then naturally, when I'm honest, which in this book just means consistent, then the peace in me will come out through my words. And then through my actions.
And it also is the key for giving what you want to receive.
Yes, beautiful. Yes.
Well, we've got to be careful about our human expectation. We've really got to be careful because my interpretation or how I understand this book is that extending, it's channeling something, whatever it is, some variation of love that needs to express,
mm-hmm.
and you allow that expression to flow into the world, and once it does, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
We've done our job, and
mm-hmm.
it's going to land where it wants to go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's love.
Yeah.
And so I really would sort of be very cautious about our expectation in the background. Because it's suicide, and I don't think that's the love that this book is talking about.
Yeah, yeah. And yet, as you express the love, you get to decide how you feel as you go along. Is it loving? Only you can know this. And my God, are you steered by a sense of peace and love? Have you ever been truly joyous? When you draw that shoe, everybody here is drawing something, or it comes out, right?
What's not wrong and you love it.
What's happening? When you get the proportion right, or you go look up a reference picture and you think, oh, I need more shading to show the opening where the foot goes or something. I mean, it all starts to come together. What happens with you when you have a good drawing?
Joy.
There's joy. Mm-hmm. There's an alignment.
What's fulfillment?
A fulfillment, a completion. Something in her mind is being manifested. This love you're talking about. Love does not get narrowed down to just a few words. It's funny how, for you to approximate it, you have to get kind of creative. Like she gets creative with that shoe. Laces or none?
Yeah, when you said laces, I thought, I don't want shoes with laces.
She didn't have shoes in her mind with laces. If it does have a lace, what do you do with it when you're drawing a beautiful shoe picture? Is it draped? Is it tied? You know, creative. Depends on the shoe. Depends on the love situation called for. Is it a cancer bed? Is it a young child who's, you know, 8 years old? Or is it an 18-year-old? Or is it an 88-year-old?
And what I have found, if I have expectations, then it's wrong. I don't feel good about it if I'm having expectations.
Yeah. Excellent. It
doesn't feel like love to me when I have expectations.
Doesn't feel like love when you have expectations. Nicely done. Nicely done. If there's a wrong way to draw that shoe, too early, what a frustration. Like I told you, don't start with the toe. Ever. Oh no!
You isn't bet. It a miracle principle number one that says all love is maximal?
Yes.
I love that, and I really believe it.
Yes.
It's whole and complete every time you extend that in the world.
Yes.
And it really is a privilege to be alive. And to really acknowledge, my God, I'm in partnership with the One. It's humbling.
And it's just waiting. All of it. Yeah. All of the love that can be had is just waiting for you to stop doing something else. Okay, anybody else want to discuss power of belief and when you need them? And before we jump in? Do you feel how important this is? If you get an idea? Thank you. You pretty much brought us right down the correct path.
I'll share something.
Please.
I'm a little uncomfortable, but the first thing that came to my head when I closed my eyes and I heard belief, I saw why. I was like, ah! So the question is it a lie? Is what I'm thinking a lie? Like, is this the truth? I've been on this like awakening path. It just happened to me overnight. Like, I changed everything in the blink of an eye, and like, well, my beliefs that I used to have changed. And now I started pushing my beliefs on everybody, and I wanted everyone to feel this awakening that I had, and it just like I just thought I had it. And then like I went through this dark night of the soul, man. 4 years after I had that awakening, I went through another one. This was like led me to insanity, and just coming back from it, like 9 months ago, I left New Jersey. I just traveled all over, but like, all the things. I don't know what I believe anymore. I just know that I just started living in love, like putting love out there. And I'm like questioning myself: is this real?
Yeah.
But like, when I go out, I just smile and I just feel love, and I put love out there, and just when I'm feeling love. It all comes back on me. It's reflecting what I'm feeling inside. Mm-hmm. If I'm feeling like mad inside, it reflects on me on the outside.
Yeah.
So it's every, like what I've learned, I haven't even read any of these books, but I've just had, I don't know, I channel stuff or something when I sleep or when I, things come to me. But like this course, I was supposed to have been here, I guess I wasn't ready for it yet. But I keep questioning myself. Am I being real? Am I being authentic?
Good.
Am I just being... You know,
one of the biggest gifts.
My spiritual ego is getting bigger and bigger. I'm scared.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Don, one of the biggest gifts this book gave me in my spiritual path was the authority that it's written with. I mean, it's not like maybe. there aren't. Keep searching. Is that like that? Yeah. It's, and I recognize that it knew me better than I know me. Mm-hmm. And these are the thoughts and things that I have discovered, the truths that I had. It gave me permission to believe them wholeheartedly. I needed it, because I wonder if it was a lie. Could some of these huge ideas that I already had dawned on my mind be true? So, you know, cool. I'm glad to hear you say that.
Because when you said you're here because you don't believe something, you don't feel it's the truth.
Yeah.
And that's kind of one of the things. I'm like, this can't be real. Like, I don't believe in this.
Nice.
Like, this,
yeah. Just, good. Just, good.
Every day miracles happen. I don't, and it's because I feel like I'm living in the light of the Spirit. I'm connected with the all.
It comes to time. There comes a time when you're ready, and it's the time. And there's a lot of people
like pounding right now.
Good for you.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, and like, I just feel like I'm being hugged by a million people, and I'm like burning up because it's tripping me out. But see, I wouldn't find this stuff in New Jersey though. We don't have. So I ran away. I like hitchhiked my way over here. Yeah. God just slapped me right here where I belong. You know, it's like I'm finding my way here, and it's like this is. I just feel like being in here. This, when I walked in the door in here, I felt this peace come over me, and even the smell in here reminded me of my when I was a child at my like favorite person's house. They burned wood and they're stoked because they had a wood burning heater in the house. It's an old house in the mountains, and that just brought back all these good memories. And I'm like, wow, thank you for the sign. thank you for letting me.
Well, thanks for sharing that.
Thanks.
Yeah, a lot of this course has come to people in a lot of different crazy ways. I keep hearing more stories about. Literally, it does fall off shelves when people are sitting in bookstores. Have you heard that one? It happens. Literally, somebody went in there to look up a Martha Stewart book, and the horse fell over their shoulder. You know one of those two?
Yeah, I have a buddy that was big into Course in Miracles, or still is, Sheldon Joe. And he had a story similar to that. It was something he'd walked into a bookstore, and I forget all the details, but it was essentially the book jumping off the shelf into his hands. I mean, not literally, but something like that.
Okay, let's dig in to try to get some of this paragraph. Page 430 in the text. So, Bridget and Dawn, the page numbers start over again three or four times, depending on the edition that you have. So there's text, workbook, and manual. So this is the first time it says 430. So front of the book, page 430. Top of the page, paragraph 5.
The vision of holiness?
Yes. This is a section of the book where we're getting schooled about what's going on. Why did you end up in this situation? And so it says, sin is an adjustment, as an adjustment. So sin in this book is not like the Catholic sin. It's sin. Sin is another word for separation or need for correction. It's sin, and when I was raised in Catholicism, sin was the unforgivable mistake. Something's gone wrong, and you can't fix it. Don't do that. And then I found out like four or five different flavors of sin, like, oh man, it's getting deep. Or says there is no sin. However, you have ideas that need correction pretty seriously. For your benefit, because like I told you earlier, you're so loved, you'll be allowed to wander off down a dark road as long as you want. Maybe a good shoe drawing will come out of it. Who's to say? We're not going to stop her from drawing a shoe from a toe first. Nobody's, because she is a creator. She's a lover. She's a creator. Here it comes. Okay. So, Cecily, would you read for us paragraph 5?
Have you not wondered what the world is really like, how it would look through happy eyes? The world you see is but a judgment on yourself. It is not there at all. Yet judgment lays a sentence on it, justifies it, and makes it real. Such is the world you see. a judgment on yourself and made by you. This sickly picture of yourself is carefully preserved by the ego, whose image it is and which it loves, and placed outside you in the world. And to this world must you adjust as long as you believe this picture is outside and has you at its mercy. This world is merciless, and were it outside you, you should indeed be fearful. Yet it was you who made it merciless. And now, if mercilessness seems to look back at you, it can be corrected.
You see what I mean? How are we possibly going to get this digested? There's so much here. This is such a gift. This is so much A Course in Miracles, part of Course in Miracles in a paragraph, for sure.
I wrote at the end of the last sentence, I said, it can be corrected. And I wrote, if I choose.
Yes. The one power, the one remaining power you have in this illusion of being a body is choice. Indeed.
Wouldn't you think that inside you already know who you really are without the words?
Yes. Yes. Words have become, what, as the Course calls them, symbols of symbols, thus twice removed from what you really are, what you really mean to say.
So all day long we use paragraph 5 to tell you that you're not.
Yeah.
But you really are.
Yes. Masako says she just wants to recognize loving things, and then she'll keep them. Luann says the same thing. She says, I just want to get the love, what I really am. As the Course tells you what you actually are. Teach only love, for that is what you are. We have so many reasons not to believe that we are love, or that SOB across the street who keeps running his lawnmower at 5:30 a.m. is that loving? So many ways we use the world to block the awareness of what we really are. So this paragraph just said, you've made up a great reason not to love. But you made it up. It was not done to you. The big message of A Course in Miracles. It's hard to believe when you got a victim day going on. When you got bad stuff is happening left and right, and you kind of feel like you're getting stuck worse and worse. That's the world doing just as you programmed it to do. There is a place in you. In fact, because you brought it up, Anthony Hopkins. Let's go read a beautiful paragraph that touches on exactly that. Everybody, keep your finger here, and then turn to lesson 155 in the workbook. So now, crack the book in half, and then go to page... roughly 300, 291. Yeah, this works okay with tonight's paragraph too. Good, Kenny.
Push this right there, Kenny.
You ready to read for us, Mark?
Lesson 207.
It's lesson 155, actually.
155, page 291.
Page 291.
Jesus, take the wheel.
Yes.
That's a good one.
There is a way of living in a world that is not here, although it seems to be. You do not change appearance, though you smile more frequently. Your forehead is serene, your eyes are quiet, and the ones who walk the world as you do recognize their own. Yet those who have not yet perceived the way will recognize you also and believe that you are like them as you were before.
Penny.
The world is an illusion. Those who choose to come to it are seeking for a place where they can be illusions,
and avoid their own reality. Yet when they find their own reality is even here, then they step back and let it lead the way.
Yet when they find their own reality is even here, then they step back and let it lead the way. You feel this awakening happen when you recognize a holy instant, when a loving thought crosses your mind. When for one moment you got outside of yourself and found somebody else's well-being more important or equal at least to your own, you said, let me help you now. When that happens, you're stepping back and you're letting the love in you lead the way. Please continue.
What other choice is really theirs to make? To let illusions walk ahead of truth is madness. But to let illusion sink behind the truth and let the truth stand forth as what it is merely sanity.
Beautiful. Yes. And let's go a step further in this direction. Turn to, it is lesson 182, and it is on page 339. Very good. Just go a little further down this invitation. Dawn, will you read for us?
Sure. I will be still an instant and go home. This world you seem to live in is not home to you. And somewhere in your mind you know that this is true. A memory of home keeps haunting you, as if there were a place that called you to return, although you do not recognize the voice, nor what it is the voice reminds you of.
That's like not having the words, Kenny. The words just fail. Yeah. Something is just reminding you, knocking on your... Love is in there, trying to get out. Please continue.
This is so funny that I got this. Yet you still feel like an alien here. From somewhere all unknown. Nothing so definite that you could say with certainty that you are in exile here. Just a persistent feeling, sometimes not more than a tiny throb, at other times hardly remembered. Actively dismiss, but surely to return to mind again.
Mm-hmm. Mario.
No one but knows whereof we speak. Yet some try to put by their suffering in games they play to occupy their time and keep their sadness from them. Others will deny that they are sad and do not recognize their tears at all. Still others will maintain that what we speak of is illusion, not to be considered more than but a dream. Yet who, in simple honesty, without defensiveness and self-deception, would deny he understands the words we speak?
We speak today for everyone who walks this world, for he is not at home. He goes uncertainly about in endless search, seeking in darkness what he cannot find, not recognizing what it is he seeks. A thousand homes he makes, yet none contents his restless mind. He does not understand he builds in vain. The home he seeks cannot be made by him. There is no substitute for heaven. All he ever made was hell.
Oh, busted.
Wow. I'm busted.
Whoa.
Well, I was just kind of recognizing myself when I first walked in here. This was me when I got here.
Oh, I remember that day.
Yeah. So do I. I'm just like, wow.
Yeah.
Now they're writing it by me. At least I'm aware of it now.
Yes, Mario. Oh,
thank you.
Beautiful. Mm-hmm. Let's read another paragraph.
Perhaps you think it is your childhood home that you would find again. The childhood of your body and its place of shelter are a memory now so distorted that you merely hold a picture of a past that never happened.
Whoa, could you please read that sentence again, sir? This is a comment.
The childhood of your body and its place of shelter are a memory now so distorted that you merely hold a picture of a past that never happened. Mm-hmm. Yet, there is a child in you who seeks his father's house and knows that he is alien here. This childhood is eternal, with an innocence that will endure forever. Wherever this child shall go is holy ground. It is his holiness that lights up heaven and that brings to earth the pure reflection of the light above, wherein are earth and heaven joined as one.
Indeed. Kenny, as you hear that distant call deep in you for what can't be put in words, that's the light wanting to shine.
That's interesting how you can see it in children.
Yes. And in your pets.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're going to hold off right there. And we're going to go to text page 148. And let's look a little further into this invitation. Page 148 in the front of the book. Yeah, just about a half inch of book is there, or maybe a 3/8 of an inch in the front. You've heard of the prodigal son story in the Bible?
Yeah, I'm living it.
You're living it. You're living it.
No, I'm just, oh gosh. That's why I'm here, because I'm seeking the truth in things and things what I had to do to open that door again.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Turn Thank back. You. Now, like I said, there's no coincidence I'm here. That's what I'm seeking.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm going to get my son back.
Waiting for you.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
It drove me to an anger management class, and where I got stuck was be guilty. I'm not letting go.
Uh-huh.
Hello. Now I get to get him back.
Yeah.
I think I kind of shared that story that it was his mother that caused this rip through our divorce.
Mm-hmm.
And through this process, he was looking for some money to go see his mom because she was ill.
Mm-hmm.
Last November. So I gave him a few hundred bucks, well, 500 bucks,
mm-hmm.
to take a bus to Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
When he got there, she died in his arms.
Oh.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, prodigal son story.
Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Just like that.
No, it is what it is.
Yeah.
But in my journey, my first son's mother died when he was 12.
Oh.
He's 34 now.
Huh.
But, anyway.
Yeah.
I could keep on going with this, but anyway, this is where I was seeking that miracle.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
I get to rename all the animals.
Yes, it is given back. All
Hello.
That you would take away from yourself is given back.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's just that, thank you. Just, you know, it's just something like, wow, I can see the difference.
Yes. And it's waiting for you to take it back.
Hello.
You will not be forced on you.
No, I see the difference in the power of the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, if I say with the truth, that's beyond everything.
Kenny, you want to read that? Page 148, sentence, or paragraph 4.
Oh, 4?
Yes.
I hated 1.
Well, you had 1 all practiced up. Yeah, don't read paragraph 1. That is, you. No, don't. Yeah, no. 4 on the other hand. You'll like 4 a lot better.
You think I'll like 4?
Yeah, I think so. This is we're talking to, somebody talked about recognition. it Masako?
Yes.
Yeah. This is a story you recognize, not only from maybe if you've read some of the Bible, but this just is a handy parable for what's going on in the big picture. Go for it.
Listen to the story of the prodigal son and learn what God's treasure is and yours. This son is a loving father, left his home, and though he had...
Oops. He thought. This son...
Thought he had whatever that squandered. Is, squandered everything for nothing of any value, although he had not understood his worthlessness at the time.
So how innocent. Squandered everything for nothing of value, but at the time he didn't know it was of no value. This is you running off and living in a body, making a whole world of separation and competition, and then a life in that world that you're living right now, where you're scrapping out for meaning and for right and for wrong, and you're holding together some beliefs to try to steer you, hanging on to them, defending them. If you're lucky, you're looking for love. If you're lucky, you're looking for love to guide you. If you've had some awakenings come along, if you live long enough to learn that anger and hate, they just don't work in the long run. It gives you nothing you want. If you've come that far and you're into love, you're in a good spot. And still the journey's to be made. Please continue.
He was ashamed to return to his father because he thought he had hurt him. Yet when he came home, the father welcomed him with joy because the son himself was his father's treasure. He wanted nothing else.
Thank you, Kenny.
So we got to return to ourselves.
You've just been defined.
Right?
Yeah. And your true self is the one thing you can't change. You are a creator and you're unlimited. But there's one thing you can't do. You can't be other than you are. And you are an extension of God. That's never going to change.
Can't recreate what God created.
Yeah. It's good news. It's all good news. That one's all good news.
In other words, we're not going to wreck ourselves ever.
You're not going to wreck yourself ever. Thank you. That's what I meant to say. That's what I meant to say.
You can't wreck it.
Okay, that's going to get us in a different direction. I know will bring us in the wrong direction for tonight. Exactly.
Next year we'll be still in that paragraph.
Right, it's really great stuff. But it's right in line with what we're studying tonight. Let me see if this is
too... Going there anyway?
Nope, going someplace else.
Okay.
Okay, now this is also key for the prodigal son, for you to be willing to return back to your joy. If you're willing to recognize, relive the truth in you, it's like being able to follow the way home, the guide that is in you.
Oh, hi, Kitty.
I've never seen him do that in all the years we've been here. Wait, we need to actually take him all the way outside. Aww. So who here is a cat person?
I am.
Not me.
Shut the door, though. He might go out.
Maybe there's coyotes out there. Shut Maybe the he's got to stay in here for a little while.
I think we found the cat person.
I can get him.
Can we get a more aggressive cat person?
Bridget really wants him to stay.
Look at that.
Who's cat?
That's how we feel.
I'm not going to beat him to the wall.
Well, that was going to shut him up.
He's under your chair. No, he's
gonna hello, baby. Yeah, there you go. There we go.
Yeah.
All right.
No, he wants to take him out.
Is he going
to
go out the window or out the front door?
Drop out the front door.
No,
what's the
Bridget? He'll lay on his feet, right?
Oh, yeah.
Nine lunch. There's this cute joke about cats in there at St. Peter's Gate. And guys, St. Peter's there going, well, are you going in or out? What? The reason why cats have nine lives.
Take that one to decide.
Thank you, Carol.
Yeah, you know, you open the door and you're like,
but you stand there for a half an hour waiting for
me. Yeah, make up your mind.
Okay, so there is an awakening that occurs within you when you do find out that there's a better way. Then, you know, these beliefs that are trying to be happy, hoping for joy, waiting for the right person or the right thing to happen so that you can be joyful and happy, waiting for somebody to change outside you. That's the ego's way, that's the world's way. When you have a spiritual awakening around love, you recognize the most important and fundamental truth this book requires you to understand. And that is, love is in you. The love that you seek is in you. The love that you seek actually is in you, waiting for you to call it forth. Not in a word, not in a deed. In a very, very quiet thought of truth. Way more powerful than you committing it to some symbol. And then that's what you follow. In whatever way you draw it, that's what you follow. How do you do that? So please, at page 127
in the text,
and Carol, you're up to that. Could you read for us paragraph 3?
Paragraph 3?
Yes.
You do not need God's blessing, because that you have forever, but you do need yours. The ego's picture of you is deprived, unloving, and vulnerable. You cannot love this. Yet, you can very easily escape from this image by leaving it behind.
Wait, how do you do it?
Leave it behind.
Yeah. Let go. Leave it behind. Whoa. I said there's a few harsh truths in here, and that's one of them.
Can I share something?
Yeah.
My two beliefs, like what I feel like is in alignment with my path, are the two things that I fear the most.
Okay. Interesting.
And I know that I must let go in order to
open
that.
Wow. Yeah. Going to take some courage there. But then when you'll be, when you look with what we call the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit's not something out there. The Holy Spirit is a part of your mind that's still connected to the truth. When you look at those things and that decision that you would have to make with your Holy Spirit, and you get this sense of love coming up, the sense of peace coming up, even though what you do may be difficult or hard or expensive or piss some people, who knows what. But when you get that inner light turning on, this is the confidence that you work with. And it's easy now. The hard things become easy. Yeah. Good.
I think the key, though, is you have to work with it. You can't just ignore it.
Amen, sister, because you're already ignoring it. That's the habit. And that will continue for as long as you do, as long as you want. You can ignore it. And pray for the world to change outside you and bring you love. All right, let's continue.
That
that you are not there, and that is not you. Do not see this picture in anyone.
Or wait, I think we missed. Oh, yeah, you are not there, and that is not you. Okay. It's redundant, you know, with what it just said. Leave this image of yourself behind. Yeah, you are not in that image, and that image is not you. Very good. Please continue.
Do not see this picture in anyone, or you have accepted it as you.
Boy, is that a big one.
Ooh, wow. Yeah, there is... yeah. Oh,
that's good.
You're <Okay. we're> done.
All right, good. We found a good sentence in this book. It's good. I search hard for that.
Just zingers everywhere.
Isn't it? Yeah.
All illusions about the sonship are dispelled together as they were made together. Teach no one that he is what you would not want to be. Yikes. Your brother is the mirror in which you see the image of yourself as long as perception lasts. And perception will last until the sonship knows itself as whole. You made perception, and it must last as long as you want it.
Yes. And then read one more sentence from the paragraph 4-4, mm-hmm. the first one.
Illusions are investments.
Thank you. Illusions mm-hmm. are investments.
So, some of y'all have heard me talk about a really frustrating staff member in the past, and then we have these patterns in our life. So that person's no longer in my sphere of influence, but someone else has shown up that's going to push my buttons instead.
Oh. Not a volunteer.
I am quite aware that they are showing up because it is by my choice and this is my ego pattern. But I think that I was just resonating with this around the other, right?
Mm-hmm, yes.
Because, I just get so frustrated with this person.
Mm-hmm.
And I was telling Misako this already, but I... I felt the whole, like there were 10 buttons getting pushed. And I knew that wasn't like as I'm reacting. I knew that is not like, you know, kind of like you were saying, Cecily, like what I want is peace.
Uh-huh.
So I take one of these lines from the book, you know, okay, Holy Spirit, show me how to make this a path to peace. And I'm saying it like 10, 20 times, and I don't believe it. And I'm even like, you know, I was just like, I don't know why I'm saying this, but I'm going to do it anyway. Mm-hmm. And the line from the lessons at the very beginning where it's like, even if you, you know, feel resistance with the lessons, just go anyway. So I did. And I feel like, you know, just essentially this throughout this week, so that opened a door. It opened a door. I wasn't with the person when I was doing that. Holy Spirit helped me. But it like cracked a door. So then another meditation came the next day. And then I actually interacted with the person the next day. And it just, there was so much more peace. And I felt like understanding between us. Mm. Even though I didn't actually do anything. In the sense of like actually modifying behavior per se. And that's, you know, for me, like it's the lesson I'm really taking in with that, because even though I was like, I don't know how this is going to help, you know, is that you have to trust. And I think that's the piece with belief, where it's like the belief is only one piece, but to cross the gap that you're talking about is to like then... like have the trust,
yes.
to do, you know, to do it,
yes.
to move towards that belief.
Yes. And it was Misako, as she says, you know what, I am going to follow love. Mm-hmm. I'm going to make choices for love, and that's what I'm going to believe, she says. Mm-hmm. That's what she knows. She wants to trust that because she knows this is what's trustworthy, not knowing mm-hmm. exactly how or what you're going to say to follow it up. Mm-hmm. You just set the goal ahead of time. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that was the thing. That was actually the kicker of why that passage came to me, to use that passage. If I wanted, I was trying to think of 20 different ways I could solve this issue with this person. And then it occurred to me, like, I can't solve this.
I'm creating it.
I'm the problem, and
yes,
the problem is me.
Yes, very good. And yet, thank God, part of you trusts that love is there. Mm-hmm. There is another way. Can't put my finger on what to do, what to say. But there's a trust that the love is there waiting to be surfaced. Now that, my friends, is crossing a bridge. From the ego, which has to have a perfect plan with the sentences written out and a little cheat sheet in your pocket before you go. Mm-hmm. That's the ego. Holy Spirit says, don't do that. Go in with a simple idea of love. Go in with a simple idea of joining and let it happen. Now, what's the big difference? The big difference is, practically speaking now, when you try to use the ego's way and you line up all the facts and figures and you have the notes, just what to say, exactly how and when, there's a tension there and an investment in the outcome. And the stress will be all over your face as you try to deliver your perfect speech. This also is true if you go into a cancer bed and you just want to be supportive to somebody and you have an idea of what you should say as they die, that doesn't work out the way you plan. It's much better to be present. Very simply present. Very simply present. So, should we go to page 28? I mean, we got to finish this right here. But since Julie's brought it up, hold your finger here, we're coming right back. But Julie's brought up.
My finger's in another place.
Yeah, you do have kind of a restless.
There's seven left. I'll try to keep it down.
Anyway, what page are we going to?
28, because Julie brought it up.
I've been here before. Yes.
You've been here a year. You probably went everywhere before.
It's really important to get out of the way. Mm-hmm. To get out of the way and switch over to this trust. You know, as we learned elsewhere, it's you who made the problem. The you who you think you are. And we're healing that. But we have to let it go. We have to forgive. Literally, that's what word forgiveness means in this book, is release. It just means let it go. It means release. Release the false. The false idea of who you thought you were has to be let go to make room for the true you now to be present and loving.
And I think that as Julie was sharing about this person, that you can get to a place through practice.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
And where you can hold both ideas that, you know, I don't know if I'm doing the right thing, but I'm going for this practice, or trust, even though she didn't recognize it as a trust. It's there,
yes,
in the background, because she's very devoted to this book and she practices it. And it's really a beautiful thing where she can honor that, well, I'm feeling rather vulnerable.
Yeah.
However, I'm going to continue with my practice.
It's like the big picture, right? Mm-hmm. Continue with my practice, because this is what, more than this person and this conversation or this whole day or this week, is my practice.
Mm-hmm.
It's bigger that I would choose peace and have peace in my life than that I solve this problem with this particular employee or person or boss. Now, practically speaking, what happens when you turn to this trust that's behind, it's bigger, it's behind the scenes, it's underneath it all, it's born in you now, that you had at least one holy instant in awakening. It's in you now. Mm-hmm. Learning to trust it. Well, what happens in this practical world of living in a body is when you go talk to that person and you think, in just a moment, maybe you've said what we're about to read. Before you went into the room, you crumpled up your notes and you put them away, but you read this instead. Mm-hmm. Your eyes are a little more open. The wrinkles are not on your forehead that might have been there. Your shoulders are dropped just a bit. And you have what we call micro-expressions on your face. Might even be just a little bit of a smile waiting to happen instead of something else. All of this is present.
Less sharpness in the tone.
Less sharpness in the tone. A little more patience between the words. All of that adds up to the person relaxing a bit. Mm-hmm. You know what? They don't fight, you don't fight. The dance is the dance is going in a different direction.
You know what I'm finding? By letting go, I can let it from a distance.
Yes.
And, wow, it works.
It works.
Oh, God.
Very good, Mario.
Yeah. No.
Yeah. Would you read that for us then? Why don't you read that for us? You have page 28?
Yeah.
Read for us. Read 18. The whole paragraph 18.
18. Oh. You can do much on behalf of your own healing and that of others if, in a situation calling for help, you think of it this way. I am here only to be truly helpful. I am here to represent Him who sent me. I do not have to worry about what to say or what to do because He who sent me will direct me. I am content to be wherever He wishes, knowing He goes there with me. I will be healed as I let Him teach me to heal.
Yes.
Wow. Wow. That's awesome.
There's a little toolbox item for you.
Oh.
If you're not sure what to say or what to do when you're going in, just say, well, I know why I'm here. Yeah. Be truly helpful. Not partly helpful, truly. That's going to go beyond what your little ego had in mind. But you know, you show up to be truly helpful, it shows up on your face.
Wow.
And in your tone of voice.
And the last one is the incentive for doing it. The last line.
Yes. The big thing. You will personally be healed. I will be healed as I let the Holy Spirit, part of my mind still connected to the truth, let my Holy Spirit speak in this very situation. I will be healed as I let Him teach me to heal in this situation. Heal is another word that's redundant with all these other big words you're learning as you get along. Atonement, salvation, forgiveness.
Well, you know, it's really interesting because what I come to seek, and it talks to me in a sense like, here's the paragraph that was waiting for me.
Nice.
Hello.
Very good.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Everybody.
And it's all just correction.
Yeah.
It's what a miracle is.
Wow.
A miracle is just a shift in your perception of how you see it. When you see it differently, you see the love in it, you see the truth in where you're going, it's easy.
And it feels good.
And then it feels good.
Totally.
Which is, yeah, that's your guide.
That's how you know.
That's how you know.
You feel that smile is real and you feel peaceful and you're like, oh, fuck, I don't got to worry anymore.
That's
sorry,
it.
I just curse. I mean,
hey, love is a four-letter word, too. We'll kind of put it in the category and know what you meant. We know what you meant.
Oh, yeah.
Good. This is one of our toolbox items. I've got like 10 of them on the website for a little, if you want to have a bunch to put in your pocket.
Can I say something?
Yes.
Recently in my lessons, I've been learning the difference between healing and curing.
Okay.
There's a game called Pandemic where you heal and you cure. It's a collaborative game. And healing for me is forgiveness. And curing is salvation.
All right.
Or at one minute.
Sure.
I don't think that they're quite the same even in this book.
Yeah, it's great.
A lot of people think
heal and cure, but they're not the same.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah, now I was thinking about in the meat industry, curing is like, you know. is that what's happening to us? We're getting cured.
Yeah. Mario's mind is always on food. So
no, it's just, I know, look what I just ate.
Yeah, look at you.
Exactly.
Wow.
No, we're not getting cured. We're working on healing myself so we can be cured.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought we were being cured, yeah, like bacon.
His cure is your healing. Yeah. Oh, okay. Let's continue. Okay, Carol read on page 127, because it's appropriate tonight, we're going to read a little more in this direction. Carol just read the first sentence of paragraph 4, and Luann will now read the whole paragraph.
A paragraph what?
Four.
Paragraph 4, number,
yeah,
2.
Oh,
page 127.
127.
Illusions are investments. They will last as long as you value them. Values are relative, but they are powerful because they are mental judgments. Ugh, I hate that. I don't hate anything, but I don't like that one.
Yeah, well, it's really calling out why we get stuck with our thoughts, even the ones we don't like, and they keep visiting us over and over.
Yep.
The ones we should be releasing for our own good, and we know it even. Mm-hmm. But as the Course says in one very short sentence, and now you know. You know what peace feels like. And you go back, you're being a mother now, and you're going to handle a difficult situation as the mother. But somebody has to do it. Guess what? It's your job. Because you're the mother. You run the house. But you know what peace feels like, and how powerful and how much better messages are received when you're peaceful. Your eyes are open, your shoulders are down, you're a little more patient as you go through this very difficult conversation. How much easier it is to communicate that way. The mother dealing with a difficult child is going to be in this situation a lot. You know how you feel, and you choose the peace and the love first.
And you choose it with that.
Go into it with that as the goal set first. And so here it says, the reason... It says, values are relative, but they are powerful because they are mental judgments.
You know, Matt and I are often either relating because of a value or squabbling over a value.
Okay.
And it just dawned on me that these values that we prize, sometimes worship,
yes,
above all others.
Like that.
You know, is... to consider that those are illusions and not very helpful.
Yeah.
They're it really can create a lot of separation when you're arguing over,
yes,
you're not living up to my values.
Yes. Yes. Some idea that I had that you should be, and I'm holding on to it, even though I'm not entirely sure it needs to be held on to, but it's all I got.
Like, sure. In my mental construct, it's been, if I value this, I will act accordingly. And that will define character, or that will somehow, yes, help one to live up to something that,
yes,
others would see to be valuable as well.
Yes, there's a great story behind that. Yeah. It's an investment. And how's it working for you?
Yeah. Well, when we're arguing about it, it certainly creates...
It's hurting.
Yeah.
It's hurting.
Yeah, I didn't know there were judgments.
There you go. You're on it. They're judgments. Oh. Now, when we start to follow this mysterious, hate to use that word, but how we started the meeting, this mysterious love in us, this mysterious light that gets awoken from time to time, when the value is aligned with that, it's a welcome, and it doesn't hurt.
Okay, so this comes up sometimes talking with some girlfriends who just, they want to meet the one, right? They're always, when is the beloved coming into my life? What do I got to do? What adjustments do I need to make?
Yeah.
And so the conversation around values occurs, and
yeah,
what you should be looking for in a potential mate, and
yeah,
do these values match that you have so that you're aligned? And so it's now starting to dawn on me, this could be some really crappy advice. But it seems like great advice. You want your values to match, you know?
Yes. Yeah. Is it lesson five? I think it's lesson five, right? You know the workbook lessons in the middle? Right.
Not really.
Okay, well, there's like lesson number five. It says, I'm never upset for the reason I think.
Yeah. Say it again.
I'm never upset for the reason I think. Now that goes same for the values. I'm never valuing something for the reason I think. You've got to bust the ego constantly.
Yeah.
Say that again for me. I'm never
upset for the reason I think. I'm never valuing things for the reason I think.
Okay.
When the ego's in charge, it's got a checklist of good value, the judgments, in other words. You jumped on it already because you said you didn't realize they were. But these investments are judgments. Right. And they're quite limiting, and they're blind.
And they make you feel terrible.
Eventually, they will make you feel terrible. They may start out making you feel great and proud and like you've got the world figured out. But if they don't come from this mysterious thing called love, they will have a price.
So that lesson, I'm never upset for the reason I think I am. That one I've never got. So then what is the reason? Like, I want you to explain that one a little bit. Yeah.
Oh, well, don't get me started.
Basically, because you're not operating out of love.
Yeah. I'm just trying to say it in a pithy way so that we don't get too far derailed in the last 8 minutes. But you asked an honest question, which I love. You know I love that. So, you are not upset for the reason you think, because the ego thinks that other people have to change for you to be happy. The spirit will show you that your happiness comes from you. When you decide to be happy, even in a bad situation, happiness comes. So you're upset because you think somebody else needs to change at that stage. And that's essential.
Okay, yeah. Thank you.
Good, okay. All right, we have 6 minutes. So isn't that huge, folks? Illusions are investments, and our beliefs are investments. You make an investment in a thought, and you start to believe it and value it. And now you start to defend it, but you don't even know if it's true, or if it's best, or if it's loving, or if it's what you really want. You don't even know how much it rubs the other person the right way or the wrong way. Okay.
Can I say something before we move on? I love what you said about the values, right?
Great.
And because if you really looked at it, what I'm saying is, well, Andrew, I can really love you if you respect what I say, that you be honest with me. You know, it's like you're negotiating. You're negotiating. I will love you, to timelessly.
Yes.
And if you don't...
Yes. Yes. Right.
Yeah. What?
Special love.
Special love. Exactly.
Yeah.
When you're, as your mind is healed, they can even be lying to your face in words. But if you are hearing the call for love, your Holy Spirit will translate the lies and continue to show you the truth. And this person who is so afraid they have to lie to you, they feel so afraid of you and not comforted they have to lie, the Holy Spirit will translate that, and you can still be present with love even in that situation.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, that really speaks to me. My mom's someone who confabulates a lot. You know, she'll exaggerate and sometimes outright lie, and it's only it's only recently that I've started having this feeling, okay, she's hurt, wow, or she's responding to something
huge
else.
Matt.
Not something she's doing to
it's
me.
Not personal.
It's something.
It's
yeah,
not an attack.
Right.
It's her calling
so
out.
I can still
high
feel
five.
A little bit of
fist bump. Fist bump, dude. Yeah. Yeah.
That's I want some yeah of that.
It's huge. That is a miracle, ladies and gentlemen.
It is a miracle.
Yeah.
It is a shift in perception about something that was hugely ugly, lying right to your face. Did you get the part where it's his mother?
Yeah.
His mother lying to him. That can really suck. A miracle is a shift in perception. So that you see, you correct what's really happening. She's saying the truth through her lies. She's saying the truth of how she's hurting.
Yeah.
She feels insecure. And what she really needs is somehow she's calling for love and she needs love. That's your job. That's your translation. That's where you are. Excellent job, Matt. Okay. And I'd like you to look at page 428, top of the page. In the light of Matt's miracle he has shared with us, I would like you to read these four words in a very short sentence, and perhaps you might even highlight this. I just said it to Cecily too. Do you see that at the top of the page? And now you know. Period.
428.
428, top of the page. Short sentence, four words. You all felt what he went through. You all feel the relief there. How much more certainty and love is going to be in his life from the being able to translate that situation? Wow! Where does it go from here? But that's because, and now you know. Excellent. Good, good. Thank you, Matt. It's beautiful. Okay, now, with our last 3 minutes, we got to go back to page 430.
We're going to have a marathon where we last all night.
Yeah, we should. Coffee for everybody. Okay, here we go. It all summarizes up in paragraph 5.
430
now, top of the page.
Where we started. 430? We almost always end where we started.
It's where we started.
Your first finger.
Oh, great.
Yeah, the first finger. Finger one. You didn't drop that, I hope. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, we're talking about beliefs, folks. Let's see how it wraps up now. Have you not wondered what the world is really like? How it would look through happy eyes? Now, the world you see, put belief, your beliefs, the world you see is but a judgment on yourself. Believing is seeing. The world you see through your beliefs is not there at all. You guys know what an illusion is? Mm-hmm. It's not that it's not there physically.
An optical illusion, like a mistake.
Sure, there's an optical illusion. Okay, it's not that the illusion is not there. It's just not what it appears to be. It's you see something and believe it's true, and it's not. Yeah. That's an illusion. You've got to withdraw your investment in what your eyes see and your ears hear. It's not an attack on Matt. It was an illusion. Can we correct that?
Can I share something?
Yes.
There was one evening I was here.
Yes.
And I said something, and then somebody responded, and the way I heard it was an attack.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Okay? All right. And I wasn't sitting very good with that.
Okay.
So I went home. And then, fortunately, your audio.
Oh.
I thought, well, I'm going to go over this. So, yeah. No shit.
Okay.
So I went home and I played that from the beginning to the end. And when that part came, I was absolutely shocked, because what I heard in here was not what I heard on your audio.
Oh.
What was on the audio was a person just saying, basically, no, I don't agree with that. But what I heard in here was, you're wrong!
Wow.
I mean, you know, wow. It was really devastating, and I was thankful that I was wrong.
Wow.
Yeah.
Right.
So, you know, when you get triggered,
yeah.
99% of the time.
Yeah, you're in transference.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. It really isn't happening out here.
Wow.
It's all an interpretation.
Right.
And how the, what is the mind called? The meaning-making machine.
Yeah.
That's what this is. All the time.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Well, we found the problem, Asako. It's you.
I put one on myself on that one.
Well,
okay, pretty.
Bravo.
I think you were brilliant to think of going back and
yeah.
Nice.
Really.
So nicely
thank
done.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for bringing it back to us. Nicely done. Busted herself. I love
caught
it.
On tape.
I love it.
It's all on tape.
It's all on tape, right? That's the whole use of the audio. Bust your ego. Ah, the world you see is but a judgment of on yourself. Which you thought would happen was a judgment on you. You beat yourself up. Wasn't even. It's not there at all. Right? An illusion. It's just that it's not as it appears. That's what makes it. Whatever it is, we don't have to deny it. We deny what we make of it. Yes?
Can I add something else?
Well,
So I have this habit when something goes missing in my life, like a personal possession, my first thought is, who stole this? And it's literally, this has become clear to me as of late, you know, it creates a world in which wow. everyone is a potential
wow.
thief.
Wow.
And mostly it's people that are close to me.
Yes.
You know, it's like, who has been in my house and has taken my fill in the blank?
Yes.
And
it's
always, I always find, that's it, like, it's a sure prescription for finding what I've lost is to assert that it's been stolen.
Yeah,
because it always shows up
after the stress, of course.
But I've done injury. Like I've yes. done, I've created a world in
yes.
which I'm surrounded by thieves.
Yes,
right.
Yes,
it's a war in your own mind.
Absolutely, war in your mind. It has direct effects on you. Of
yeah.
course, you feel those emotions and the doubts. I mean, nothing you want to keep.
And then the guilt when I realized it wasn't stolen, and
yes.
I've possibly taken someone close to me and sort of pointed the finger at them
yes.
and put
yes.
laid judgments on them in my head. It's like
yes.
they probably did it.
Yes.
And then
right?
I have to know that fuck, I blamed them and
yes.
didn't do it. They
the
didn't walk
yes.
around completely blameless.
Yes. That belief yeah. popped in there, you're ready to execute on that judgment.
Totally.
Yeah.
yeah.
Now, the good news is, well, there's lots of good news here. I'm not sure there's any bad news. So you're busting yourself again, it's really good. There is a habit of mind that is ego. And it will continue to happen until it doesn't. Now, what you do is you will more quickly, each time, let it go. You start busting yourself.
Uh-huh.
And you
and
start...
You get to be my age and you laugh at yourself for doing it.
It might get pretty quick after a while. But you will see. You keep this up. You keep your awareness up. We call it vigilance in this book.
Uh-huh.
You keep watching. The judgment on somebody stole it will get shorter and shorter. It doesn't go right away. But it does get shorter and shorter. And
I do find that I've sort of made it into a joke. Like, I'll
nice.
Typically say, you know, Leah's been involved in some of these conversations. Like, I'm pretty sure this hasn't happened, but my thought is that someone's came. It just happened with the landscape, the landscapers and the shovel. You
okay.
know?
Yeah.
But they did end up having it. It was a mistake.
Okay.
So it was actually kind of stolen, I guess.
Right. Yeah.
But yeah, it was missing. It was like, you
yeah.
know, automatically.
Yeah. No, this is excellent. No, this is your teacher.
Yeah,
yeah.
Totally.
This has become a wonderful way to open your mind to release you, release you from victimhood.
Right.
It, yeah.
Well, that puts a whole new frame on it. I mean,
yes.
I see the importance of working with it. And
yes.
It's,
And how powerful are your thoughts.
Being a teacher.
How powerful are your thoughts. So quickly they can get you.
Yeah.
Oh, and cause your body to spurt some adrenaline in there. And all the things that follow from there. Just those are thoughts we're talking about.
And it is a little better because I used to not have any space.
Okay.
You know, there was no joking. There was no. It was like a certitude around someone having stolen it. Now there is a little space and there's a little bit of what will probably show up.
Uh-huh. So, yes.
Yeah. That's,
it gets that's even good. Better. The gifts are coming. The gifts are coming because one day it will be stolen. And you'll be like, huh?
Someone else needed it better.
You know what? Because you're going to say, I would rather be at peace now than bust them. They can have it. I'm keeping all... Let them off the hook. Because you're letting you off the hook.
Right. I don't have to hold that violent attack.
The cost is too high.
Right.
They can have the shovel.
Right.
I'll give you two.
$12.
If I can stay at peace all day, for $12, I'm going to spend it.
Right.
This is coming.
Yeah.
Good.
Got it.
Excellent. Beautiful. Beautiful. Okay. We have only negative 7 minutes.
We can just wait till next week and finish the whole next week on this one.
Yes. Well, you know, we think we pretty much got it. But listen to this, though.
Yeah.
The judgment lays a sentence on it, justifies it, and makes it real. Such is the world you see, a judgment on yourself. Made by you. The sickly picture of yourself. Thank you, Matt. It was a perfect way to close the meeting. The sickly picture of yourself is carefully preserved by the ego, whose image this picture is, and which the ego loves being a victim. I didn't misplace it. I didn't forget where it was. It was stolen from me. Perfect. It's placed outside you in the world, this problem, this image. And to this world must you adjust. Key word for this whole section. Adjust. As long as you believe this picture is outside and has you at its mercy, you have to keep adjusting, not taking responsibility. Yes. This world, it is merciless. More things will go misplaced in Matt's house tomorrow. As soon as tomorrow, something else just won't be where I know I left it. This world's merciless. And if the world was outside of you, you should indeed be fearful. Yet it was you who made it merciless with your beliefs all along the way. Everything that got you to where you think you are now is a whole bunch of beliefs you've stacked up and you've been buying and keeping, holding on to.
Justifying,
defending. Here comes the good news. It can be corrected.
Your condition has a cure.
Your condition has a cure. I love it. Change your mind, change your life. Okay, I'm moving my marker. Let's have a circle. Oh, take a deep breath.
We're shaped as a heart tonight. Do you know that?
Okay, we have opened up now the start and the source of all your problems, and all your solutions have been laid tonight in front of you. It's your beliefs. We didn't say the truths. The truth is and always is, and it's waiting for you to discover it if you get around to it. However, your beliefs are immediate. Your beliefs are fully in your control, and I'll tell you right now, they're in your way. Okay, that's the bad news. Here's the good news. It can be corrected. Start by backing up. Let that little part in you that would insist on being loving, let it speak. In any situation where you're uncomfortable, take back, take a breath, and say, Holy Spirit, show me this differently. And your shoulders will drop in that moment. Your eyes will open. The wrinkles will go on your forehead in that moment. And then you breathe what we call spiritual air. Because the heavens will lean in and the angels surround you and say, here's where love is in this stinking situation. It's just waiting for you. Truth is always waiting for you. Thank you. Amen.
All right.
Hey, thanks everybody for your wonderful input tonight.
I probably